This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection podcast. I'm your host and the executive director of the Human-Animal Connection. I am so delighted to have Melissa Pierce. She's a lifelong horsewoman, and she is the founder of Touched by a Horse and the creator of the Equine Gestalt Coaching Method, which she's been doing for decades. And she's helped so many people and so many horses, and I can't wait to hear all about it. So just for people who don't or aren't familiar with Gestalt, can you give us just a little explanation of what your method's all about and what that means?
Yeah, thanks for having me so much. So Gestalt is a German word, and it loosely translates into flowing into form or coming into wholeness. So it's a form of therapy and a form of coaching that allows people to go back and finish their unfinished business. It's efficient, it's quick, it's creative, and the horses are our partners in doing the work.
That's wonderful. I think horses know something about wholeness that we need to learn.
They do. They live a very gestalt life, you know,
right?
In gestalt, you're in the present moment, and horses are always in the present moment.
Yes.
My horses are not thinking about, wonder yesterday why this happened, or wonder if tomorrow we're going to do this or that. They're right here, right now, and they teach us that.
Yes.
I think it's why we're so connected to them. We go out to the barn and be with them for a while. You're not going to get anywhere unless you're present with them.
Right, right. Yeah, you can't get anything done unless they're here.
They step on your foot and then they say, are you with me?
Yeah, here? What is it you think you're doing here?
Thanks.
So that's wonderful. Well, let's start a little bit of your history. Now, you grew up with horses. Tell us about your life in horses, just briefly.
Yeah. Well, in sixth grade, my science teacher actually announced to the class that he had a horse for sale. And I just knew in my heart that was my horse. I just knew it. I called him and badgered my mother. My dad was out of town. And long story short, but we got this horse. And she was my very first. And I went on from there to many, and then later became a breeder of horses in my career. And I've done a whole variety of different things with horses all the way through. So,
but now you've kind of found your passion, your work with this Gestalt method of helping people come into wholeness. And tell us more about how your method works.
I became a psychotherapist, and I trained from a psychotherapist viewpoint, but I train lay people. They do not have to be therapists or coaches when they come in to the program. And what happens if you were my client?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I had a client just this morning, finished just in time to get here on time for this podcast.
Oh, okay.
And she came in, her daughter, her grown daughter actually referred her to me and got her a session. And she came in, she had raised three children with her husband with a 6-year brain tumor. And he passed when the kids were like 12, 15, and 17. So she didn't give herself any time for her grief process because she's the mom of three teenagers. And
right.
She just got into a mode of distraction and let's get this taken care of. But they're all grown now. They're out of the house. And she finds herself despondent and lonely and not engaging in life. And we discovered together today, so much of it was her not dealing with her grief when it happened, you know, postponing it. And here it is all these years later, you know, catching up with her. And the horse this morning was phenomenal. He did a great job, and she had a huge breakthrough.
Wow, wonderful. So this was an in-person session then?
Yeah. Yeah, she was here on site. She lives a couple of provinces north of me, about an 8-hour drive, and came in to stay
in
local town.
So tell me a little bit about the horse in that session. Like what did the horse, like if I was a fly on the wall, I'm glad I'm not a fly, but if I was, what would I have seen? What would I've noticed?
A cat in the arena.
Yes, let's go with the cat. I'll be a cat. I'll be the barnyard cat, the happy, brave, calm barnyard cat. What did I see?
Exactly. So Halo was a horse.
Halo's the horse.
Halo is the horse, yes. He Gypsy Vanner Gelding, about 10 years old. And he was in a round pen, and she started by sitting outside of the round pen. And already he was very aware of her and very engaged with the fact, kind of giving me signals that she was in her head, not in her heart. And that's part her temperament. It's part who she is. She's been a nurse and a kind of a scientist and stuff. She's always in her head. And so he gave me that signal by detaching. So they're very interested in what we feel. They're not at all interested in what we think.
It's fun. So interesting.
Right. Yes. Yep. So he just quietly looked at me, and then he moved away and stood about 15 feet back looking at us. And that's not usual behavior for him. That cued me, and listening to how she was speaking, I knew she was coming from a thought pattern, not how she felt. So I started moving her through my work of speaking to her daughter-in-law, who's a little bit of a problem for her. We started there in an empty chair. So she's saying her truth to her daughter-in-law. Mm. And then we got around to what was really going on as I'm probing and asking questions, and it was grief. And so we went into the grief of her husband, had her speak to her husband. And she's not a person who cries easily. And she definitely let down into some very big tears of what it's been like to be alone all these years. Even the struggle she's having now is their adult children, you know, what to do with all that. So the session goes, and I end up inviting her in, and she doesn't know anything about horses, and inviting her into the pen with Halo. Kind of gave her a few little safety reminders, and then he's on free liberty, and she steps into the pen with him.
Hold on one second. Let me just ask one quick question.
Yeah.
When she started to cry, did Halo shift in his behavior?
Yeah, definitely. Good cat. Yeah. Right over to the fence and standing there. And I don't point these things out to the client.
Right.
Observe it sometimes a bit more. But yes, he absolutely, once she dropped down into her feelings about her daughter-in-law and then her feelings about the husband, he was right with her. He was like, I got you. I'm right with you. So part of what horses do in this work is they are what I call an equidetector, kind of like a lie detector, not meaning lies like I'm not telling the truth. It's more personal if I'm not telling the truth to myself. So if I'm thinking something and it's not benefiting me, it's not really how I feel, that's what they're very sensitive to. So
right.
She moved into kind of an equidetector position with her. I place her in the pen. I asked her to walk a certain direction. She walks that direction. And I asked her a couple of questions that said, finish this sentence. And I gave her a sentence, and she's starting to finish it. And immediately Halo went over and blocked her, stopped her in her tracks. And I said, he's identifying truth that you need to repeat to yourself again. Hear what you're saying. Say that again. She says, I don't really know what I said. And I said, I realize that. And so does Halo. Say it again. What you were saying was something like this. She goes, oh. And she dropped again and dropped into her truth. And he kept her just quietly blocked, not doing anything bad, but just standing peacefully. Once she got it and got it all the way through, he turned and started allowing her to walk forward again. And he did that several times. One time she said to herself, she said something like, I regret being such a distracted mother. That's what it was. And she was being hard on herself about it. I was so distracted. And he walked away from her. He came all the way to my side of the pen, just like, Nope.
That's not it.
We're not going to do that, right?
Yeah.
And so I caught her on it, and I said, husband's in bed for 6 years with a very aggressive brain tumor. You have 3 children, some who are turning teenage years, and you're working full time as a nurse in the hospital, and you're taking care of your mother who had Alzheimer's, and you're telling yourself you were too distracted. I said, hear what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Shot her with empathy. And she said, I was doing the very best I could do with what I had to work with right then in that moment in time. And I really wasn't distracted because I always cared. And he turned around and went right back over to her. He couldn't walk fast enough, right? Drops his head down in what I think was a namaste pose, just kind of, her. And and the session went on like that. And he'd be right with her. He'd stop her. He'd engage with her.
Right.
Pull away. You know. So that's one of a million behaviors that they do.
Yeah.
So he's really with him.
He's really reading what's happening in the moment, and he's also recognizing when she's being really authentic to her heart versus being in her head and giving her that instant signals. And it's really beautiful to watch, because like, if let's not that you would have done this, but let's say someone said, oh, you're in your head now or something, their finger, that wouldn't have worked at all. But the horse, but when the horse gives us a signal, it's like, it's just neutral. It's just information. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just, okay, you're not in your heart now.
Yeah. And I tell clients, I say, you know, you never forget the experience that a 1,200-pound horse gives you. You know, that stays with us. That's experiential learning. What I said didn't matter. It's what she said and what he did. And when she understood, she said, why did he block me the first time? And I said, he's wanting to stop you in your tracks to process what you just said. And she goes, gosh, I don't even know what I just said. And I said, see, he could feel that. He could tell you weren't really connecting to it. So we went through that. Then another time, he pulled away, and she said, why did he walk away from me like that? And, you know, basically he's calling you on your BS. He's saying that you're being hard on yourself. So let's process that. They just engage really beautifully. And that's one of the ways. And that's what he does. He's a really good equidetector, you know, is what I think of him as, is my little truth detector.
Your truth detector. And how long have you had a Halo?
You know, not long. Year and a half, probably. I've raised and had for a really long time, but I had him about a year and a half.
And did you know, I mean, what made you say, oh, Halo has to do this work with me? How did you know? What did you see? What did you feel?
No, he's a funny story. He was an intuitive hit that I had. I had a graduate of my program who reached out to me, and she said, this Gypsy Vanner gelding's coming up for auction in Florida. And I'm in California at the time on vacation. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah. So, and she goes, I really think you'd like him. He's really cute, and they ride him and they do all this stuff, you know. And I did not need another horse. And I thought about it. And then I looked at him online. I watched the video of them riding him and stuff. And I'm thinking, well, he's pretty nice. If I don't decide to keep him, I could probably find a student that would want him and all this. Well, anyway, I buy him in this. He comes out to Colorado, to my ranch in Colorado. And I was still in California. And my guy who rides for me then, his name's Scott. I said, Scott, just ride him a little bit and tell me what I bought. Tell me what you think. Called me and he said he had to be drugged. He was not very rideable. He's not very broke. He doesn't have a lot of controls on him. And he's not built very well. So he's rough as all get out. So I'm thinking, oh, darn, I did the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Came home a week later and I went in his pen, and he was sweet as could be. And I said, Halo, here's the deal. If you can do the work I really do in the world and partner with me doing that work, just loving on people, keeping them safe, but speaking your truth, I said, you have a home for life. If you decide that's not for you, then we'll find you another good home. And so like, okay, he came out of that stall. No joke, Jamie. He came out of that stall about an hour later to work with his first client. He's knocked it out of the park every single time. Every single time. He never lets me down. Ever.
Wow. That's such a beautiful story, because here's a horse that somebody else obviously put on auction. They had no use for him or didn't understand him.
And throw him away.
Yeah, throw him away. And then we find what his true purpose is, which every horse is different. Would you say, let's just take it on a scale of, let's say, out of 10 horses, or let's say out of 100 horses, how many would you say have the potential to work the level that Halo's working at? I mean, how rare is it?
It's not as rare. So out of 100 horses, I'm going to say a good 80 or so are going to do
really
some form of the work.
Form.
Be happy doing it. Not necessarily the equidetector. Some are pantomimers. Some are very much in the vibration, energy balance work and different things. But I think what made him extraordinary was his clairsentience. He understood I was being fair with him. Like, okay, the seller was not fair with me. That's not your fault. And I don't want to put a bunch of money into you to get you to where I can ride you and we can all be happy riding. And it doesn't seem like that's what you want to do. If you want to do what I do, great. If you don't, I will find a good home. You will get a good home. I just gave him all that comfort. And he watched my other horses doing two or three different pieces of work, you know, and he just observed and watched and then went out and was a rock star.
Wow.
He was motivated.
I love it.
I do find the Gypsy Vanner breed. I have paints, quarter horses. I have all different. I do find the Gypsy Vanner breed are highly intuitive and very clairsentient in this work. They have big empathy drivers in them, so they tend to be kind of naturals at a lot of this.
Yeah, that is so exciting. It's so wonderful too. And I'm sure you've probably in your travels, either with yourself or other people, you've seen people who thought they had a therapy horse and it really wasn't their work.
True.
Yeah. And how do you explain to that person, I don't think this is your horse's true passion?
Well, how do you say? I travel around the country doing retreats back in the day. Now I have my own retreat center. I don't do all that traveling. But I was in Minnesota at a gorgeous facility in Minnesota, had been invited up to do a women's retreat. And I went the day before. And the owner of the retreat said, we've got a lot of horses for you to choose from. You know, figure out which ones, you know, three or four or five, whatever you need. Just let us know. We'll get them cleaned up, you know, and all this. And I went out and did what I do. I connected and basically said, I'm a human that helps other humans feel better in their life. And if you want to partner with me on that and do whatever you think needs to be done, I listen to you. You listen to me. You know, it's a partnership. And I'm saying this and thinking this with the horses. And there was a very, very dirty, it was mud season, very, very muddy, dirty, goofy looking little paint mare that came over to the fence, like pushed her way through all. This is, I've been waiting for you, you know? Okay. So I chose her and I selected three or four. And I got back to the barn and I told her who I had selected. She goes, her? She's an old brood mare. She's just an old brood mare. That's all she is. And I said, we're not showing in the show ring. We're connecting hearts. And apparently she has a mega watt heart. She wants to connect with my clients. So they cleaned her up and brought her in. And she had her dressage champion, very nice, pricey horse in the horse world, standing in cross ties. And she said, well, don't you want to work with him? And he was gorgeous. He was really a looker. Uh-huh. And I said, I don't think he wants to do this. She's like, what? Oh, I think he'll do anything. He's brilliant. He's this, he's that. You know, she's in love with her horse. And so I asked him right in front of her. I said, so I forget his name was like, I don't know, two letters like JK or something. So do you want to do this work, healing human hearts with me? And he shakes his head no. That was a fly. That was a fly. So I'm asking me and JK, do you want to take a few days and do this work, healing humans with me? And he stomps his foot and he shakes and all right, that freaked me out. It kept going, no, I do not. I do not. I know how to do what I do, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm not interested in this stuff. So
it's beautiful. Yeah. So when in doubt, ask the horse. That's the moral story.
People hope that horses in sanctuaries, you know, rescue horses will do the work. And I have very strong feelings about that. I think that as a second position, second career for some of them. Yes, they're bored. They're looking for something. They still trust humans at some level and they're fine. And they do, I have some that have done really great work. But then there's the others that, to me, the soul covenant between humans and horses has been so badly broken. Mm-hmm. They should be loved and taken care of and never asked to do another flippant thing their whole life. Just revered.
Right.
I'm always careful, and I do see people try to do that.
Yes.
I think they're doing therapy with horses, and they go get support at its heart. Okay. It's not right.
Fair. Yeah. Well, we're going to take a short little break, and when we come back, we're going to hear more of your wonderful stories. We'll be back in just a moment.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this limp problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's CARNIVORA.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Hey friends, if you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human Animal Connection, and I am speaking today with Melissa Pierce, and she is the author of Touched by a Horse and the creator of the Equine Gestalt Coaching Method. So you mentioned earlier, I wanted to just backtrack a little bit about that different types of healing, there's not just one way that therapy horses work. They each work a bit uniquely, but there are sort of three categories that you've talked about. And with Halo, what would you call his type of healing? Well, clairsentient.
I think he is so sensitive to whether somebody's congruent, whether they're telling their truth to themselves. And so he very definitely can pick up the vibe of the brain and the heart and the gut all being in alignment. Mm-hmm. And when they're congruent, he's right with them. When it's discombobulated, he's not. He backs out. It's just dropped.
Right.
I think he's very good at that equidetector place.
Okay, so the equidetector. And then we talked about the pantomimer. What type of healing, or do you have a story about a pantomime horse?
Well, yeah, Gestalt is very experiential. We set up experiments with people, and they're working through different things that have happened in their life, a lot of deep trauma work and that kind of thing. When I think of pantomimer most recently, I think of a client of mine, Angelica. And she was 15 when she was pregnant with her first daughter. Parents made them marry, so they did. They had two more kids, and he was highly abusive, not a little, but the real deal. Went to prison for 26 years. So you know you have to be hugely violent with your wife and children for the courts to do that kind of action, take that kind of serious action. And so here she was, these several years later, kids are growing up, they're late teens at that point, and she's taken a look at her life and who she is, and she was feeling, again, bad about herself somehow around it all. She had done nothing but be a great mom to these three girls, but she kept taking the responsibility of, like, they grew up without a dad and that's my fault and all this stuff. And so I built a house out of what I call flower boxes. They're basically like PVC poles set on their side with flowers in them. So like you'd use for a walkover pole or something with horses. And I put four together in the middle of the round pen, making it sort of a little house. And I said, step into your house. And I had three women there at the group that were helping me. So she's standing in her house. And I said, and here comes your first baby. And I had one person step into the house with her, one woman. And I said, this is your daughter, so-and-so. And here you are. And Gabriel takes that moment, knowing the piece. He's brilliant pantomimer. He's seen it all in what she's talked about him.
And Gabriel's the horse. Yeah.
Yes. Sorry. Gabriel's paint horse. He walks right in between the mother and the woman playing the baby. Just boom. Just barges in. Not politely. Mm-hmm. Just sort of moves her over and stands in the house. Mm. And so I said, is that what that felt like? She goes, oh, definitely. She says, that's what that felt like. When we processed through that, we ended up putting the second daughter in, and he does it again. He opens, takes his hoof, and he opens the box and gets right in the middle. It's kind of all about him. And they get all to the sides, and he's taken up the whole box, right? Mm-hmm. So we put the third one in, and the third daughter in, she comes in, he comes over, he starts to come in, and she went, no, you stay out there, just natural. She didn't think it was her husband. She just said to the horse, no, stay out there. She knew nothing about horses. And he stopped, and he looked at her, and he starts to come in again. She goes, no, you stay out there. And I said, Angelica, is that what you did? Is that when you said enough is enough, and I'm going to get the police involved, and I'm going to stick to it, and he's going to go to prison? She goes, yes, that's exactly what that felt like. just he was big and imposing and all of this. So I never let my horses wear the black hat for very long. I like them to be in the happier side of things, right?
Right, right.
And once she got that, I said, step on out a second. And I said, now I want you to meet Gabriel as the protector of you and not this playing your ex-husband. Let's let him be the protector. She's walking in the circle and he goes over to her, hooks his head over her shoulder, pulls her body into him, and then just holds her like just this beautiful closed horse-eyed hug. And she wraps her arms around him and just cries her heart out. Though he knew I'm pantomiming a part. It's not who I am.
Right.
Pantomiming a part. He's not a rude horse at all. He would never.
Yes.
You and I were just standing in that box having this conversation.
Right.
He'd never barge into that box. He ate exactly what he was doing.
Wow.
I only have about 1 million stories like that. So.
Yeah, right. That's wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. And then the other one you mentioned was vibrational healing. What horse is an example of that?
I think most of mine, but I'm very honored to have a mare that's been with me a long time. Her name is Rhiannon, Gypsy Vandermeer. And we are my teacher in me now here, that we are somatic creatures and they are somatic creatures. So we have many, many, many energy systems. Some people think of chakras, which is the main seven, and horses have them as well. They have two additional over us, but they have them as well. And there is a magic between the alignment in that. And what many horses are able to do is elevate the actual tone of the chakra for the human. So in human speak, we think of Reiki. We do Reiki. Doing Reiki on a horse that's sick or hurt, I'm all for it. Doing Reiki on a healthy horse, know that your horse is laughing at you. Because, hey, are the Reiki masters. They do it so much better than we can. So they're going, oh, that's so cute. She's doing that. Well, they will take, I've done it with, sound, can't get the
tuning forks.
Thank you. Couldn't get the word. So where I've hit a tuning fork, she'll bring that part of her chakra field over and literally change the sound. So if it's, she'll raise the sound, and that's what they're doing. So working with a client, she will oftentimes be the one that puts the bow on the piece, like after they've cried and they've processed. I set them in the center of the pen. And I help them hyper ground to the ground and get quiet inside themselves. And then she'll go over, she'll work on somebody for maybe 30 minutes, aligning the part of her chakra body to theirs, and then raising that vibration. She lowers her head, closes her eyes, holds it really tight. Then she comes up, she moves to another spot, she works on that. It's fascinating to watch.
Wow. And
most horses will work on the sound of the chakra for people that make those changes. She's just developed over several years with me. She has developed her own thing. Boy, I don't mess with it. If I try to say, Rhiannon, we need to wrap up now for lunch, she be the eagle eye. Well, we're not done yet. So
that's wild.
And I think everybody could go home and have an experience at home with their own horses if they have a horse that that I could walk them through if you're interested in me sharing.
Yeah.
Exercise.
Well, I just have one question before we do that, and that is, do the horses take on the energy in a way that needs to be discharged? How do they process? Is it just like flows through their mane, like wind through their mane, or how do they?
They are in continual energy renewal. You know, when you think about how horses communicate to each other, they are doing it through that vibrational field. If you look at wild horses, the alpha mare's out front, the field is a triangle, you know, they don't go past her. She's not saying, hey, you guys, we got to hurry. She's going, they're following her body language, but they also follow her sense. So when she says, we're safe now, many will lay down. The alpha doesn't lay down, but many will lay down and rest and get their rest and get their, you know, they just know that's the world they live in. They're very conscious of that. So the moving of energy, they have no thought pattern that doubts it. They have nothing in the way. In humans, we have all that. Like, is that really happening? Do I really feel that? You know, we have all that doubt stuff that gets in our way. They're in full trust mode and vibrational stuff passes through them. They know how to discharge it. Sometimes they'll go roll. I don't usually put them back in a regular stall. I want them to be out where they can just have their horsey thoughts and go out and roll and do what they want to do. They don't hold on to things. You think about two mares in a pasture that turn butt to butt and kick at each other because they're mad over something, and they'll make so much noise and they act so pissed off and their ears are back, and it's a big kerfluffle, scares humans to even watch it because they look like they're going to just hurt each other so bad. But an hour later, they're not still brooding on that. They're not thinking about that. They're not worried about that. And the next time they see that mare, they're cool with it. Hey, Jeannie, hi, Melissa, you know. They don't hold on to that stuff like we do. That's our analytical mind, our quantitative, qualitative mind that does comparisons. We hold on to stuff.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. For years and years and years.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Okay, well, let's chat. If people have a horse, they live with their share their life with a horse, or they tell us what how people could begin to think about this for themselves.
Well, if it is safe for, I'll speak directly to your audience, if it is safe for you to do so, so you have to not do this with a yearling or a two-year-old, you know, get a mature horse around you, and you're able to do it with just that horse and you in any size pen or paddock or field. The reason I say that is because you get multiple horses around somebody that can be unsafe. So I want you to be one-on-one with a horse, loose in an arena, wherever. And then notice when you walk out there and you stand still and pay attention to your feet, and you pay attention to being as grounded as you can allow yourself to be, just stop. Mm-hmm. What they see with us, Jeannie, is we're in constant movement, constant thought. We're always getting things done and doing this and doing that. So we're like a rabbit to them, right? Picture how a rabbit feels. So we feel like a rabbit energy. So when we stop and we ground and center our energy, they're fascinated. They're like, Jeannie's standing still. Jeannie's mind is quiet.
Jeannie knows this.
Still. We can probably go see her if she's still standing still. So they will come up. Most horses will then drop their nose down to your left shoe first. Then they move it to the right, then they move it back to the left, back to the right, then your left knee, left hip, right hip. They do an assessment of your energy. And if you stand still and you don't talk and you stay grounded, most horses will walk around you and check around you as well to the other facets. So that's one, your folks
fascinating
you with their horses, and to see that they're taking in information from each side of their brain, because their brain works very differently than ours. So they're taking in all that data, and then they take it in on the other side, on the intuitive side. So they're going through all that data. The other one that we do, and I've done it in front of huge audiences at horse expos, is have the person enter the arena thinking math. Now, I don't like math, so I do 1 + 1 = 2 and 2 + 2 = 4, like that. Just think as you're walking around. Most horses will completely ignore you. So they're out in the field, they're going to ignore you. Then start thinking about something in your physical body that hurts and really get into the feel. I have my arm in a sling right now. Really get into the feel of that torn rotator cuff, you know, get you. Most horses will pick up their head, look at you, start approaching towards you, or at least pay a lot of attention. But if you can move into your heart, into some sad day you've had or a hurt in your past or anything like that, boom, they are right there and very present. And that, I think, proves to everybody, you know, that they care about how we feel. They really
That's very powerful.
Do everything you can to change it.
Powerful. Yeah. Well, we're almost out of time, but I want to hear about the story about Gus before we let you go.
Yeah, we were asking how do they learn to do this. I think they do it innately, but Gus was this gorgeous Palomino, belonged to a gal that was boarding at my place. And so we were helping him have his first piece of work with someone. And the client in the pen was a student of mine. So she understood we were doing this for the horse. So I asked her to move into her own, you know, body field and really ground herself and all. And I asked him, and I have it all on film. It is so cute. And I said, Gus, you're over here by me. Where should you be? And he turned around, and he looked at her, and he brought his head back around, looked at me, and he said, you've got it. That's exactly where you should be. That's your client. You should go over there. He looks at her again. He looks back at me. takes a big breath and he goes over there. Now, he's not sure what to do when he gets there, right? But he has them kind of all over and he's checking everything out. And he comes back like a football player to the coach. He goes back.
Yeah.
Okay. So I said, well, why are you back over here? Where should you be? Over there. But I don't know what I should be doing. So I'm not sure. I said, you just do your heart. You do whatever feels right in your heart. As long as she's safe, you just give it your best shot. Okay. And he goes back in. Finally, the third time, he starts to come toward me and I go, no more timeouts. You're at work. Mm-hmm. You may not come to the coaching line. And he just stops and he looks at me and then he turned right around, went right back to the client. He became a phenomenal gestalt horse. But in the beginning, that was his insecurity. Really just kind of do whatever I think I'm supposed to do, whatever I like doing. They're very kind, very sweet and very kind creatures for sure. Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, great story. Well, I've been speaking with Melissa Pierce, and she's the author of Touched by a Horse. Now, if people want to get in touch with you, do you do any remote work with people?
I do. We have a podcast, Touched by a Horse. My husband and I do that. And I have a 2-year training program for people that want to learn to do my method of gestalt with horses. Everything's on our website, touchedbyahorse.com. It came after Touched by an Angel, that old show that was on TV. Mm-hmm. Touched by a Horse. All the information of all three of our programs and everything that we do is on there. I see one-on-one clients here, but I'm blessed to have 300 certified practitioners of my method around the world. And so primarily the U.S., Canada, but in 11 other countries. So if people are looking for something, especially trauma work, if you have a background of sexual abuse or you've been a veteran or you've had a house burned down or all the myriad of things, a tough divorce, life is full of those things. This is the work that is quick. 1 or 2 visits, you feel completely whole again. So
Wonderful. That
would be great. And on my website, they can find a practitioner near them or they can send me an email. Tell me what they're looking for and I'll send them directly to who is in their area and would help them out.
Great. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Melissa Pierce, author of Touched by a Horse, thank you so much for being with us today. We'll have to have you on again because I know we've just scratched the surface.
Thank you, Jeannie. Anytime. Love to.
All right.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Human Animal Connection. We'll see you on the next episode. Bye for now.
Thank you for tuning in to the Human Animal Connection show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.